G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the lower limb neurological examination. The aim of the examination is to differentiate between upper motor neuron and lower motor neuron lesions. Quickly, upper motor neuron lesions are the brain and spinal cord with hypertonia in the arms, extensors weaker than the flexors, and the legs, the flexors weaker than the extensors, the pyramidal weakness, hyperreflexia, and pronator drift may be present in the upper limbs. For lower motor neuron lesions, nerve roots, peripheral nerves, neuromuscular junction and muscles, think about wasting and fasciculations, hypotonia. For peripheral neuropathy, distal weakness and muscle diseases, proximal weakness, and hypo or areflexia. Our examination is going to go through general inspection, look and feel, the gait and riding reflexes, tone, power, reflexes and clonus, coordination, sensation, and other tests. And we'll also mention ulcer disease. Firstly, let's talk about some differentials for weakness using Rosen's Chapter 10. Firstly, intracranial, then spinal cord, peripheral nerve, neuromuscular junction, muscle, and generalized or systemic. For intracranial causes, consider vascular, so ischemic or hemorrhagic stroke, space-occupying lesion, so an abscess or a neoplastic lesion, and inflammatory, so demyelination, MS, or degenerative motor neuron disease. For spinal cord causes, ischemia, thromboembolism or dissection leading to ischemia, compression, think about trauma or disc herniation, space-occupying lesion or hematoma. For inflammatory, demyelinating, so MS again, transverse myelitis, degenerative, MND, and connective tissue disorders. For peripheral nerve, think about trauma or compression, demyelinating, GBS or MND, and vasculitis. For neuromuscular junction, think about myasthenia gravis, cholinergic crisis, for example, organophosphate poisoning, a paralytic, so botulinum toxin or blue-ringed octopus, tetrodotoxin, or Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome. For muscle, rhabdomyolysis, compartment syndrome, myositis, and statins. For generalized and systemic causes, firstly, adrenal insufficiency, generalized weakness or adrenal excess, proximal myopathy, thyroid, hyper, proximal and bulbar, hypo, proximal, parathyroid, hyper, think about proximal, lower limb greater than upper limb, diabetic neuropathy, alcoholic neuromyopathy, which is proximal greater than distal, and electrolytes. Think about hyper or hypokalemia and hypercalcemia. We'll start the examination with general inspection and looking and feeling. We're looking for posture, looking for abnormalities, suggesting truncal and appendicular ataxia, suggesting cerebellar disease. We're going to look for scars, bruising, muscle wasting and distribution, abnormal movements and pain and inability to walk. Secondly, we're going to look at gait and riding reflexes. Is the gait ataxic or antalgic? Festinating gait for Parkinson's, Trendelenburg gait or high-stepping gait for a foot drop. The riding reflexes for vestibulocerebellar disease, for example, Parkinson's or supranuclear palsy. We're then moving on to tone. As mentioned previously, hypertonia in upper motor neuron disease and hypotonia in lower motor neuron disease. Then we're going to move on to power grading out of 5. Looking at the myotomes, hip flexion, L2 to 3, knee extension, L3 to 4, ankle dorsiflexion, L4 to 5, toe extension, L5 to S1, toe flexion, S1 to S2, ankle plantar flexion, S1 to S2, knee flexion, L5 to S1, hip extension, L5 to S1, foot inversion, L4 to 5, foot eversion, L5 to S1. We'll then move on to reflexes and clonus, the knee jerk, patella tendon L3-4, the plantar reflex is L5 to S1, noting that it's a primitive reflex and shouldn't be present, suggesting an upper motor neuron lesion. The ankle jerk is a tibial nerve response S1 to S2, and ankle clonus, so greater than or equal to 3 beats is abnormal, and you can test that proximally as well. Moving on to coordination, heel shin testing suggesting dysmetria, foot tapping suggesting dysdiadochokinesis. Think about diseases such as MS and motor neuron disease. Then moving on to sensation, light touch is dorsal columns and spinothalamic tract. Pinprick is spinothalamic tract. Vibration and proprioception are both dorsal columns. The dermatomes, L2 is anterior proximal thigh. L3 is the patella, anterior knee. L4 is medial leg, L5 is lateral leg to big toe, S1 is lateral foot and sole of foot, S2 is popliteal fossa, and S3, 4, 5 is buttock going to perianally. We also need to think about the sensory end nerves. For the lower leg, the medial leg is saphenous nerve. For the proximal lateral leg is the lateral sural nerve. For the distal lateral leg, or the lateral malleolus, is sural nerve. For the dorsal foot, excluding the first web space, is superficial peroneal nerve. For the dorsal first web space, is deep peroneal nerve. For the sole of the foot, split into medial and lateral plantar nerves. Other tests to complete our lower limb neurological exam: a vascular assessment, warmth, cap refill, edema, pulses and wounds, rectal and perianal exam for cruri corda equina, and straight leg raise with pain at 30 to 70 degrees for lumbar disc herniation, though that test has poor stats. Differentiating nerve pathology now. A common peroneal nerve palsy versus L5. A common peroneal nerve palsy will have preserved ankle inversion, which is tibialis posterior, which is L4-5 tibial nerve, and toe flexion and pain is unusual, versus an L5 radiculopathy will have weak ankle inversion and toe flexion with radiculopathic pain. For a deep peroneal nerve palsy, which is anterior compartment, expect the motor components to be the anterior compartment of the leg, so a foot drop, with a sensory deficit being the dorsal first web space, versus a superficial peroneal nerve palsy, which is lateral compartment, being a motor component of eversion weakness, and sensory deficit being the anterolateral distal leg and the dorsum of the foot. We'll briefly talk about the differential diagnoses of lower extremity ulcers now, starting with arterial ulcers, noting the history of smoking and diabetes, the mechanism being ischemia, usually severe pain with absent arterial pulses. The appearance of the ulcers are dry, irregular margins with necrotic eschar. For venous ulcers, think of prior DVT, obesity, mild to moderate pain, usually pulses are present. The ulcers are wet and exudative, shallow with irregular borders. And for neuropathic ulcers, usually diabetes or other peripheral neuropathy, usually painless. Pulses are variable given the coexistence with arterial disease, and we've got to think about punched out ulcers on pressure areas. Usually there's biomechanical problems with the feet, so Charcot feet, for example, leading to callus formation. Okay, today we've talked about the lower limb neurological exam, including some differentials for weakness, our approach to the exam, and also some differentials for ulcers. Thanks for listening.